Loving brothers and sisters, members of branch churches and local sanctuaries, we, all believers and viewers in the world who are attending this service through internet. Today, I'll be continuing from the last session, talking to you about the Great White Throne Judgment. Let us briefly review last week's message. The Great White Throne Judgment will take place on this earth, and the judge, God the Father himself, will come down to this earth wearing a personified form. Those who are saved will be placed on the right hand of God's throne, and those who are not will be on the left of it. Those who are not saved will not actually appear directly before the throne to receive the judgment. They will stay in the Hades like normal, but the gate between the spiritual spaces will open, so it will seem like they are in the same space. The judgment will be carried out in this setting, but God the Father will not conduct it alone. He will give the authority of judgment to God the Son and the Holy Spirit as well. That way, all three of God the Trinity will become the judge. The four prophets who are exempt from the great judgment will assist the judgment so that the judgment will be even more perfect. In addition, God the Father will have the jurors as well to have the perfection composition for the judgment. Brothers and sisters in Christ, who are the ones who will play the role of the jurors in the great judgment, and how will the judgment will be carried out? If any of you become one of the jurors, how wonderful will it be? First, the jurors in the Great White Throne Judgment will be the 24 elders mentioned in the Book of Revelation. At this time, I will let you know who some of the 24 elders are and how they will carry out the role of the jurors. The 24 elders will first receive the judgment prior to assisting the Great Judgment as jurors. When God the Trinity, the judge, begins the great judgment together with the four prophets, the Apostle Paul, who is the highest among the 24 elders, will take the judgment stand. Who? The Apostle Paul. He will take the judgment stand. Apostle Paul was the greatest among the apostles. He communicated with God in depth, and he performed most of power. On the judgment stand, he will testify to how he loved the Lord and how he was guided by God, even under so many trials. Then God the Trinity will, and the four prophets will acknowledge that all his testimonies are true, and he will receive glory, authority, and rewards. Can you guess who the four prophets are? They are none other than Elijah, Enoch, Abraham, and Moses. The four men will not be judged. In the last session, I explained to you that they will be excluded from the great judgment. The next ranking is for the Apostle Paul, and he is the first of the 24 elders. Each of those who will be one of the 24 elders will take the judgment stand according to their rank, and they will receive the rewards from God the Father. In heavenly kingdom, women will have a separate rank from men. There are also some women who will receive the judgment of reward before the great judgment. For example, they are Mary Magdalene and the Virgin Mary, who are the first and the second in the women's rank. When Mary Magdalene and the Virgin Mary stand in the judgment, the perfectness and truthfulness of their goodness and their love for the Lord will be revealed. When they testify to what they have done, this itself will become a delight for the Father God who has conducted human cultivation. Therefore, coming from his humanity, he will give additional rewards as a bonus. But in fact, the Apostle Paul, Mary Magdalene, and the Virgin Mary will have received their complete rewards before the great judgment, just like Eliza, Enoch, Abraham, and Moses. But they will stand in the judgment once again. The reason why they will be able to receive their complete rewards even before the great judgment is as follows. The Apostle Paul is the fifth in the heavenly rank. He is the first among the people in the New Testament. And Mary Magdalene and the Virgin Mary have accomplished perfectness to be the first and the second in the women's rank. For your information, there is a story circulating in the Roman Catholic Church. The story tells that the Virgin Mary died and they conducted a funeral, but when one of the Lord's disciples arrived late and opened the lid of the coffin, they could see only the burial shroud. Here is a letter from Israel. Under the feet of the Mount of Olives is the Jesus tomb church at which the Virgin Mary is said to have been lifted up into heaven alive. Her tomb was found not to have her body. The Apostle Thomas went there to examine her body in vain. He discovered nothing but the linen that had wrapped her body. This supports the fact that she was taken up into heaven alive. But we are not sure whether or not this is true. Well, we hear another story in Turkey. Reflecting on this, in Jerusalem, a shrine of the tomb of Mary, there is only an empty stone coffin in the tomb of the Virgin Mary. The Bible says that they could not find the body of Moses. Therefore, I hope you will realize what this story implies. Brothers and sisters, then how will the 24 elders play the role of the juror in the great judgment? Actually, the role that the 24 elders are playing is a little different from that of the jurors on this earth. On this earth, the jurors can decide whether the criminal is guilty or not, but the 24 elders in the great white throne judgment will guarantee the judgment of God, the judge. For example, let us say that a person who passionately loved God and was ardently faithful from the depths of his heart were to take the stand in the judgment. Then he would be compared with a certain elder like the Apostle Paul, who was faithful to the Lord with all his life. And according to the result of that measurement, this person will be given rewards. On the contrary, however, let us say another person is standing in the judgment. He believed in God but could not overcome persecutions and deny the Lord or bow down before idol. When he thinks from his standpoint, he may give the excuse that because of such severe persecutions, he could not keep his faith. But among the 24 elders, because of Peter, who was crucified upside down, or because of Daniel, who kept his faith in the persecutions suffered, he can give no excuses. Also, even if he does give excuses from his standpoint, when the 24 elders testify to how they kept their faith even in fierce persecutions, the pointlessness of his excuse will soon be revealed. He cannot dare to give any excuse in front of the 24 elders. Therefore, God will elect people who have accomplished very precious heart in each aspect, such as faith, hope, love, faithfulness, goodness, truthfulness, and integrity, and appoint them as the 24 elders. I hope you become in them. God the Father has let me know who some of the 24 elders are. I think the reason why God has not let me know all the names of the 24 elders is because we still have some time until human cultivation will be completed. In these last days, there will be many people who love God passionately and will be working faithfully with all their lives for the kingdom of God. Therefore, among you who are listening to this message, I hope there will be people who can get to the position of 24 elders by accomplishing a spiritual heart that is like a jewel. God the Father, the judge, will not conduct the judgment alone, but God the Son and the Holy Spirit will also be the judge. So to have the perfect constitution and a great judgment, the judgment will have 24 elders like Judas and the four prophets who are the best of the fruit of human cultivation who will assist in the judgment. Because it's the final judgment of human cultivation, God the Father will have many processes to add to the perfection of the judgment. It is in this way that as the constitution composition of the parts is made complete, the actual great judgment will begin. First, those who are not saved will receive the judgment. They will now go before the throne of God and see God face to face. There are sinners who cannot see God face to face, so they will receive the judgment as they remain in Hades. But because the space of the Hades will be opened, they will feel like they are in the space of the first heaven. This is what I explained in the last session. So, the judgment for those who are not saved will be very fearful and strict. I said God will judge those who are not saved, and He will begin with those who have heavier and more grave sins and go on to those who have lighter and less serious sins. But it's not that each one will fall into hell right after each one is sentenced. Everybody together will fall into the lake of fire or the lake of sulfur and receive the eternal punishment only after judgment for all those who are not saved is finished. About this, Revelation 21:8 says, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The cowardly, namely those who profess their faith in God but are afraid of God, cannot be deemed to have true faith. Perfect love casts out fear. So if you really love God, there is no fear within you. If you really believe in God, there is no fear within you. Some of you are afraid when you are left alone at nighttime. If you believe God, that God is with you and angels protect you, there is no reason for you to feel afraid. If there is no sinful nature within you, fear will be cast out. If you possess true faith with a sincere heart, you will never be afraid of any kind of disaster, diseases, and afflictions. God protects you as you have believed. So you have to increase your faith day by day. That is the embodiment of our religious life. It is never enough for you to go to church on a regular basis. You have to practice the Word of God and improve your faith increasingly. This faith can be given you only by God. So you have to keep the Word of God heard in your mind and put the Word into action. As much as you have cast out evils and fill your heart with the truth, a spiritual faith is given you, and you can do it with that spiritual faith. Suppose you let a part of your body hurt by mistake. You can commit it to God by faith, and God will give you His answer and healing in return for your faith. But if you have not possessed the spiritual faith, you will not rely on God but on the worldly methods. If you have received healing through those worldly methods, it's okay, but how pitiful it is that so many people fail to receive healings. Actually, any kind of problems and diseases can be solved by the power of God. The lake of sulfur is 7 times hotter than the lake of fire. This is not for ordinary sinners, but those who committed very serious sins. For example, there are the ones whose consciences have been seared as with hot iron, and those who opposed God's kingdom by blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I already explained in the book about hell, the place for those who are not saved, and about the punishments that they will receive in Hades before the great white throne judgment. So please read them along with the books about heaven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, after those who are not saved and are judged and are thrown into the lake of fire or lake of sulfur, the judgment for those who are saved by faith will begin. The judgment for those who are saved is not judgment for punishment, but judgment for rewards and the dwelling places in heaven. So we call it reward judgment. The promise of the Lord in Revelation 22:12 that says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done," will be fulfilled by this judgment. Therefore, those who will receive the reward judgment can go before God's throne, and the judgment will be carried out in a friendly and peaceful setting. The reward judgment will also begin with those who have greater rewards and go on to those who have less. In the same way, as in judgment of those who are not saved, everyone who is saved will go into their respective dwelling place after all the judgment is over. About these different dwelling places in heaven, I will explain in detail from the next session. When the great white throne judgment is carried out, the law of Moses, the faith of Abraham, and the testimonies of jurors become the standard of judgment. But there are also other materials and evidences that become the ground of judgment. About this, Revelation 22:12 says, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds." The book of life in this passage is the book that records the names of those who are sealed as God's children by receiving the salvation of the Spirit. And it also says everyone is judged according to what he has done as written in the books. And it also says everyone is judged according to what he has done as written in the books. What each of those who are not saved did on this earth will be recorded in the books, and the contents of the book will be the decisive evidence for the judgment. Everything each one did from the birth to the death will be recorded in the books in heaven by the angels. Matthew 12:36 says, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment." Every careless word you have spoken is recorded in the books of judgment. Some people neglect their jokes and worthless words like nothing and do not try to avoid those jokes. But no matter what kind of jokes you speak, they will all be written in the books of judgment. You have to say only good jokes, but it would be better for you to avoid all kinds of jokes. When I speak to you, some funny things, you laugh and feel happy. If you continue to say funny things because they do not include evil intentions or falsehood, it is not acceptable in the sight of God. You have to avoid any kind of meaningless words. You have to remember that every careless word shall be judged on the day. Not a single word will disappear. The Bible tells that regarding every word you speak on this earth, you shall give the account for it on the day of the great judgment. So you have to be careful in every word. You have to speak only good and gracious words. You must judge, condemn with lips. You must not judge or condemn with lips, which are considered as big sins. One day, a man was brought to me on the car, and I went into it and prayed for man. The people who had brought him told me that he had spoken complaints. They said that the man had grumbled and complained. So I went into the car and told him again. I wanted to help him discover and repent of his wrongdoings. So I asked him, I heard that you have repented your sins, but now are you feeling something unpleasant in your mind? He said that he had found and repented of sins. He said about nothing unpleasant within his heart. I asked him again, you have felt something unpleasant and spoken it sometimes, haven't you? But the man stubbornly denied it. He said that he had no idea of it. The people who brought him told me that the man had said something to be commended. You have to remember that when you complain of God with words, it will be very rude to God, and you cannot be protected by Him. Common people fail to remember what they have said with their lips. A spiritual person remembers what he has said because he never says meaningless and careless words. That's why a spiritual person remembers what he has said, even the words that he had said 10 years ago. It is possible because he said only good and valuable things. That's why many people around me say that I have a good memory even though I lost my memory ability long ago. I remember any word that I said 10, 12, 20, or 30 years ago because I have said only good and meaningful words. I do not remember or say worthless words. I wish for you to say only the truth. Otherwise, you will be accused by Satan and the words of sins built up against God. If you complain and grumble with words, it will become the snare to Satan. When you express your complaints with words, you'll be accused by Satan. Jesus, our Lord, said, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Regarding every word you speak, you will have to give an account of it on the day of the great judgment. In heaven, angels are assigned to each man, and the angels examine and report every deed, every word, every thought of you. Every deed, word, thought, and desire of you are recorded in the book of heaven. Your angel records everything you have done, thought, and said on the earth and report it to its archangel. Then everything of your deed, word, and desire will be offered up before the throne of God. Every child of God is assigned one angel in heaven to look into every word, deed, and desire of you, and one more angel on earth to protect and guide you. On the earth, unbelievers are not assigned angels to protect and guide them. The protecting angels are sent only to the children of God. But in heaven, angels are assigned both to unbelievers and believers. The angels are assigned to both of them to examine and record every word, deed, and thoughts of everyone. I want all of you to clearly understand this point. Angels are not sent to unbelievers in God, but only to believers, children of God on earth. The angels were sent onto the earth to serve the children of God, protect and guide them. So children of God can be protected from any kind of accidents by those angels. strangers. But when they do not live by the word of God, but disobey the command of God, they cannot be protected anymore, and Satan will be allowed to bring disasters and accidents on them. It said, every single word you say will be written in the books, and they will become the grounds for your judgment. It will be so for the words spoken. So how will it be concerning to your deeds? If you slandered, cursed, talked behind someone's back, if you struck or get angry or fought with somebody, if you committed murder, adultery, or theft, even if you just spit on the ground, it will all be recorded in those books. Not only your sins, but also your good deeds will be recorded. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:4, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Another part of Romans 2:16 says that the day is when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. But those who have accepted Jesus Christ and are saved have nothing to worry about. The sins of one who believes in the Lord are forgiven by the blood of the Lord at the time of accepting the Lord. So those contents in the book will also be erased. Even though all the sins were blotted out from the books of judgment when you accepted the Lord Jesus, if the Holy Spirit moves your heart and you feel like repenting of those sins, you don't have to stop repenting. The spirit of repentance will remind you of all your sins you have committed, and then please repent of all of them.
103,
it's just as Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far was He removed our transgressions from us. How far is it from the east to the west? Can you measure the end of either of them? If you continue to go west or east, you cannot find its end. Our Father God has removed our transgressions from us. If you commit sins after accepting the Lord, you have to turn away from the heart and act in the light, and God will forgive your sins. It's just as 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of God, blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If someone teaches you our sins can be forgiven when we confess our faith, do not trust his words. The Bible never confirms it. The Bible clearly tells us that if you really love and believe in God, you have to live according to the word of God and walk in the light. If we walk in the light, we have the fellowship with God, and our confession of faith will be confirmed. And then the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, will cleanse us from all our sins. We can communicate with God only through the disobedience to the word of God. You have to remember this condition. If you believe in God, you love Him, and if you love Him, you will walk in the light. When you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus will wash away our sins. So we can find nowhere that our sins can be forgiven and cleansed only by the confession of faith. Nowhere in the Old Testament and in the New Testament can we find it. Do not be contempt by such words. It is like a blind man guides a blind man, and they both fall into a pit. They will be led to the path to eternal death. But even if you rely on the price of the blood of the Lord, when you commit sins that cannot be forgiven, your name might be erased from the book of life. As I explained in the second session of the Heaven Lecture Series, it's the case where you commit sins that lead to death. The Holy Spirit in you is extinguished. Among them are sins of blaspheming, opposing, and speaking against the Holy Spirit. Those who commit these sins will fall into the lake of sulfur and hell. But suppose these people are arguing that they did not blaspheme, and they did not stand against or speak against the Holy Spirit, then God will show another kind of evidence other than the contents written in the book. He will open a space in the third heaven. there is a sea of glass which is like crystal in front of the throne of God located in the third heaven, namely the heavenly kingdom. On that sea, God will show that persons blaspheming, opposing, and speaking against the Holy Spirit. In the first part of Revelation 4:6, it says, "And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass like crystal." Yes, there is a sea of glass like crystal in front of the throne of God. When we look at the clear sea, we can see the fish and seaweed in the sea. In the same way, sea of glass carries the meaning of seeing everything through. When I visited the Mediterranean Sea in 1989, it was so impressive to me. Since then, I have suggested to the department in charge of pilgrimage to the Holy Land that we should visit the Mediterranean Sea again in every season of the pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I have wanted to see the blue and beautiful sea once again. Pretty and white sands cover the seashores. Into the sea are many kinds of beautiful fish. The fish could be clearly seen because the sea is so clear and pure. So I have asked the department to go into the Mediterranean Sea during the pilgrimage to the Holy Land, but I have never visited there again. When a life is reflected upon the sea, all the heart, the thoughts, the mind, the language, actions, that is, everything will be revealed. At the time of the great white throne judgment, God will show the things of the past on the sea of glass as needed. All the things that people did on this earth will be shown as if they are happening right now to give the evidence for the judgment for each one. Therefore, nobody can deny what he has done by giving a false testimony. Even in this world, we have voice recorders and cameras to record all sounds and scenes and keep them for a long time. How much more perfect would the cameras in the heavenly kingdom be where God the Almighty reigns? And it's not only the voice and the scene, even your thoughts and the mind will be recorded when you speak a word or do something. The aroma of your prayer that you offered up on this earth can also be the grounds for your judgment. A wicked person pours out evils from his lips. A wicked person cannot remember what he said. He fails to remember what he said because he spoke careless and meaningless words. Of course, he can remember serious words he said, but fails to remember careless words. On the contrary, a spiritual person remembers what he said because he does not say meaningless and careless words. That's why a spiritual person has nothing to repent of. He does not say the words of which he will have to repent. If you have said incomplete words while living on this earth, you will have to give account of them before the throne of the great judgment. I mean that you will have to give the account of them at the judgment of rewards and glory in heaven. You don't have to give an account of the words that you have already repented of on the earth. But you will have to give account of the words you have not repented of. I do not mean that you will fail to be saved. Since your names are recorded in the Book of Life, you will be saved, but your rewards will be reduced because of those careless and meaningless words that you have not repented of. Those of you who have accepted the Lord will gain salvation and go into the kingdom of heaven because your names are recorded in the Book of Life. But rewards will be reduced because of the improper words you have not repented on the earth. So I urge you to avoid any kind of careless and meaningless words and to speak only the truth in any circumstances so that your heavenly rewards cannot be reduced at the judgment of reward. I wish for you only to build up rewards. I ask you never to complain about the works and kingdom of God. You must not recklessly talk about the works of God. Brothers and sisters, there are gold censers in heaven to contain all the aromas of your prayer offered from this earth. And according to the amount of your prayers for the kingdom and righteousness of God, your rewards will be different in measure. For example, our senior deacons who have been praying day and night since the beginning of the church passed away last year. She didn't accomplish sanctification and so she went to the second kingdom of heaven. But God let us know that she has the greatest amount of reward among all those who are in the second kingdom of heaven. Our God let me know that the person's rewards will be the greatest in the second kingdom of heaven. In this case, at the great judgment, God will show the aroma of her prayers that fills the golden censer to the brim to show that how just and fair His judgment is. It's not only about your prayers. God the Father remembers all your devotion and work, and He will certainly pay you back according to what you have done. Please keep that in your mind. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I explained about the great judgment in two sessions. You could understand how grand the great white throne judgment will be carried out, and it will be conducted in perfect justice and love of God in a very orderly manner. All these things are from the true word of God, and they will take place as explained. You've witnessed it so far, that what I explained from the altar has been done. Now, as you understand this, how should you lead your life from now on? As said in Matthew 10:42, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. God is God of love who wants to give more rewards to us. But because God is also God of justice, the Bible many times tells us that He will give back to us according to how much we sowed with faith, how much we worked, and what we have done. The dwelling place and rewards that are decided in the great white throne judgment will not change forever. Once you get into the kingdom of heaven, there is no more chance to earn more rewards. Therefore, I hope you will be wise believers who will not waste this time given on this earth, but store more rewards in heaven and advance into better heavenly dwelling places. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will go into New Jerusalem and enjoy the greatest happiness forever.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bones of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.